The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Our founding fathers held to the biblical principle that human life is precious and created equal. In the Declaration of Independence, it is God the Creator who endowed every man, woman, and child with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The signers called them self-evident truths. Each life has inherent dignity and matchless value, apparently from conception until death. The dignity of human life is not just a biblical principle. It is a principle of a decent life. Every human being, born or unborn, deserves the equal protection of the law, and the value of life is not conditional. It's not conditional upon its usefulness to others or to the state.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I love that. What an insightful statement, right? This is not just a religious thing. And it was in Arkansas. Arkansas Senator, I think his last name is Jason Rappert. He's the author of the bill that's now being proposed in Arkansas that mimics the Texas heartbeat bill. And I just want to start with this because I think this is the tip of the iceberg. It's a good way to look at it. You know, Texas, they had their challenges. We know that the weight of the federal government was going to be thrown against them. We know what happened with appeals. And we know that other states are going to be following suit. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the months ahead. Relevant Radio here at the helm, of course, is Father Rocky, who is really, he's been led, he's been felt this call to pray the rosary, to, you know, pray for an end to the culture of death. He started this Memorare campaign. We're approaching 4 million of those. And that's phenomenal. Prayer changes things. I'm convinced of it. But we are up against one of the darkest battles, one of the darkest spiritual forces driven by Lucifer himself, and that's abortion in this country. So what's the chain that will bind the evil one? It's the rosary. I really believe that. It's prayer that will disengage him, prayer and fasting. That's why we're seeing such fruit with 40 Days for Life, those who are out there praying and fasting. Fasting is a key part of this. And we'll talk about that coming up a little later, too. But I hope you'll join Father Rocky, just as a side note, 7 p.m., all right? So you can join in this campaign to help end abortion. You're going to see abortion fall. I'm absolutely convinced of it. We are the generation, you and I, are going to see, in the not-too-distant future, a very bad decision by the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade back in 73. It's going to fall. I mean, just on the merits of it alone, it's bad law, period. I mean, many experts have addressed that. It's not even, you know, about a woman's right, et cetera. It's just bad law. So that's going to go away. That's the federal level. So what's going to happen after that? That's why right now you can also see certain members of our Congress wanting to, you know, pack the court, right? Will Joe Biden pack the court? Will he expand it so we can get a more liberal court and we won't see Roe v. Wade overturned? That's not going to happen either. I don't see that happening personally. I do think this is going to fall to the state level. And I do think you're going to see more laws like what you saw in Arkansas, the bill that was presented, what you saw in Florida, and a lot of places around the country. I think life is going to win. I think life will be protected. That inalienable right to life, as our founding fathers envisioned, will be maintained. And, you know, we'll look back, and I said this to you before, we're going to look back, future generations will look back at this, these decades, and say, what was the matter? Oh, my gosh. America, you made the mistake of slavery, but you rose above it. Why abortion? We will rise above that too. Anyway, he introduced this bill, and it mirrors Texas's heartbeat law, and it forbids abortion, if you're not familiar with that, from taking place after a heartbeat can be detected. And again, let's just simplify things, right? Doesn't that make sense? If a child's in the womb and you can hear the heart beating, doesn't it just make sense to say, okay, we shouldn't kill the child at that point? Right? We shouldn't kill it at all, but isn't that an easy place to all agree upon? Not for the culture of death. But Governor Aja Hutchinson said that he doesn't want to call a special session on that question of the Supreme Court rules on the Texas legislation. That will actually happen sooner than people expect because court today agreed to hear the challenges to the Texas law on an expedited basis. And They do mean expedited. Oral arguments are going to be heard Monday, okay, November 1st. So again, join Father Rocky in that rosary. Let's all pray. Join me today in the chaplet. we are engaging. We're the battle lines are converging, right? We're no longer at a distance. We're going to be fist to fist here right now. So forces of darkness against the forces of light, and the forces of good. So that's 10 days away. Briefs are expected in next Wednesday, and responses, of course, by Friday. But the state of Texas, they actually asked the court to make a decision on whether or not Roe v. Wade and KCV Planned Parenthood should stand. They actually asked that, the state of Texas. And I would say again, bravo, Texas. God bless you. God bless you and your citizens. The court, unfortunately, declined those questions. It declined to take those questions up. They're going to save it. And I know I'm throwing a lot of court cases at you, but they're going to save it for the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization case. That is the one that is going to be the silver bullet, if you will. It's going to be the stake in the heart of the vampire of death. Dobbs v. Jackson. I'm convinced the Supreme Court will rule properly, and we're going to see abortion in this country as we know it collapse. And just to show you, I was sitting back, and I don't want to paint too dark of a picture. I mean, there are a lot of people who heroically sacrificed. You remember Dave DeLayden? He was that journalist who went undercover, exposed Planned Parenthood and what they were doing in collecting and selling baby body parts, right? Wait till you hear what's happening here. I mean, this case is something I've been following. I bring it to you occasionally just so you're up to speed on it. Attorneys for DeLayden, right? They're accusing Vice President Kamala Harris, okay? The VP of colluding with abortionists, including Planned Parenthood. This all took place when she was the California Attorney General. So what happened? Well, she decided to enforce the state's eavesdropping law, and they carried out a search on DeLayden's apartment. And of course, you know what happened. They took all the videos that he had, all those undercover videos. And according to his attorneys, the emails and a lot of the other evidence that they have, it shows that Harris, Vice President Harris, of course, Attorney General at the time, she let the National Abortion Federation look at those videos. Hey, you want to see something? Check these out, right? So NAF, the National Abortion Federation, they were embroiled at the time in a civil lawsuit against DeLayden. Can you say collusion? I think Kamala, I sound like Donald Trump. Colluding Kamala, right? That's her moniker, right? No, I do. I think Kamala Harris colluded with the abortionists. She colluded with the National Abortion Federation. Why? They're big dollars. I mean, we just know how much money Planned Parenthood and these pro-death groups, you know, pump into these liberal and a lot of these Democratic politicians. So Harris has not responded. Again, these are allegations. All right, I'm just going to throw that out. She hasn't responded to the allegations yet, but I'm not saying this. I'm just reporting what her attorney said, right? That's what the attorneys for DeLayden, the journalists who exposed Planned Parenthood and who suffered terribly. I mean, you talk about the way of the judicial system. He was pounded by him. Well, now all of a sudden we're finding out the attorney general at the time, Kamala Harris, was colluding with the culture of death. So surprise, probably not, but that's where we are. I'm telling you, and I don't want to beat this too long. I don't want to belabor this too long, but I really feel like we are two forces, you know, who are we're lobbing bombs at one another and engaging in war, and you know, now the lines have met eye to eye, and it's mortal combat. We are in the throes. We're in the apogee of this battle. We're going to see it really intensify in late December, as it probably will happen on the last day of the Supreme Court, probably in June, is when they will rule in the Dobbs case. But they're going to meet in December. So you and I have a lot of time to pray. And I'm going to stay on it because I think it's so important. I believe so deeply, so completely in the power of prayer. I believe it changes things. I've seen it personally. I've seen miracles. I've seen lives changed. I've seen conversions. I've seen healing. We've seen the power of the rosary to make atheistic forces abandon positions in countries they should never have left. You know, we've seen divine protection. So I invite you to pray with me every afternoon at 3 Central. We'll include this intention. I think it's important to pray for. And then again at 7 o'clock at night with Father Rocky, 7 Central, and pray the rosary with him, okay? I think it's important. And do it personally. when you're at Mass, pray throughout the day. We're talking days, just a few months here. So please continue to amp up the prayer and amp up the fasting and amp up the sacrifice. Hey, here's the other news. One other story I want to get to for you. Facebook, right? You hear what's going on with them? We talk a lot about their algorithms and censoring and a whole bunch of stuff. Well, guess what they're doing? I was shocked. I saw this morning. They are apparently changing their name. I know. The focus of the name change, it's kind of, I like the name of it. They're going to call themselves the Metaverse. The Metaverse. So there was a report from The Verge. They were following this story, and they're reporting that, you know, they're going to rebrand the company with a new name. They're going to put this on their building, Metaverse. Yahoo Finance was one of the agencies that was reporting this. Let me share a little bit from them. Check this out.
Facebook reportedly may change its name.
They're considering this name change, which apparently most of the people inside Facebook aren't privy to, even members of the senior management team, to further emphasize what Mark Zuckerberg has been trying to emphasize, which is the so-called metaverse. I know we've talked about it a bunch here. Basically, this has to do with creating alternative 3D worlds, both that are mirrors of our own or twins in the parlance of the metaverse, or that are gaming worlds, for example, and just alternatives.
Yeah, so a lot of people are reporting on it because it's big news. I mean, if Facebook was a country, it'd probably be, what, the second largest country in the world. I mean, there are billions of people on Facebook right now. The idea is to create a similar, a space similar to the internet, but one that users and you know, users using digital avatars, you know, you can walk around inside, you can interact with one another in real time. It's kind of a universe, if you will. It's an alternative. It's a meta universe. That's why they're calling themselves that, metaverse. In theory, you can actually sit around in a virtual meeting table with your colleagues from around the world. So, you know, here at Relevant Radio, let's say we entered the metaverse, right? We could have you can have your board meeting. You can have your producing meeting. You could, you know, do whatever. You can get together for Thanksgiving with your family in this metaverse, right? Instead of staring at 2D faces on let's say Zoom or whatever, you know, application you decide to use, Skype, whatever it might be. Then you walk over to a virtual Starbucks, you know, and sit down, meet with your mom who lives across the country. I mean, you guys can get together in this alternate reality. And it's just the beginning. I mean, it's just the beginning. Wait till VR. Wait till this virtual reality really comes to life. I'll monitor this for you. I don't know a whole lot about it. We'll see where Facebook goes with this, but boy, it's a new universe of you. Not even a new frontier. It is a whole new universe. Speaking of Facebook, Twitter, and big tech, Donald Trump, another bit of news on this front, is trying to challenge the dominance of big tech. I don't know if you heard this story or not. He's starting up by a new Twitter-like social media group. So, you know, he got banned from Twitter, of course. He had so many followers. It was ridiculous. So he says, you know what? We're going to set one up. And this is what he's calling it. He's calling it Truth Social. Truth Social. I don't know how the name sits with me yet. I'm not opposed to it. And I don't think it's bad. Truth Social instead of Twitter. Maybe call it TS. Who knows? It's going to be opened up to invited users next month for what's called beta testing. And you can check it out to make sure that, you know, all the bugs are out of the system. And then he's going to roll it out nationwide sometime in the first quarter of the new year. What do you think? Is it going to be successful? You think it'll be a big hit? I don't know. We know about Parler and some of these other places, Rumble and places that were alternatives to big tech. Big tech, man, they own the world right now. They own these platforms. Can Donald Trump, you know, break in, and will enough people be willing to go to Truth Social? I don't know. I mean, I think people are frustrated with the algorithms, the filtering, the censorship, the bias, the agenda pushing that comes from so many of these big tech platforms. And I wish them success. I wish anybody who offers alternatives. I think choice is always a good thing. One final story. Peter Grandage is going to be joining me. I want to get him on the air here and talk with him too. But I've been following one other story for you. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Just want it on your radar because I think when you follow individual events, they're like pieces of a puzzle. And when you begin to collect these and put them together, they paint a bigger picture. In a rural town in New South Wales, Australia, firefighters were called out to a blaze in the middle of the night. The fire was at a Catholic church. Yeah. St. Patrick's. By the time the firefighters got there, the building had been engulfed in flames. It ultimately collapsed on itself. And investigators right now are looking at the cause. Could it be arson? Some believe, yeah, another attack on a church. Well, in Scotland, somebody lit a fire at a place called the Carfin Grotto near Motherwell. And this is Scotland's national shrine to Our Lady of Lourdes. So again, somebody with deliberate animus targeted a shrine of Our Lady. The fire destroyed, you know, plaques and cables and part of the floor. And as I think it was Cardinal Dolan said, we need to pray for these people and try to seek their healing and hopefully, you know, hopefully their conversion. We'll see what happens. Let's talk finances for a quick second. Peter Granich is going to be here. The markets have been all over the place recently. I know you might be getting close to retirement. You may be retired. You may be socking it away for that day when you can, right? Well, with the news about booster shots and vaccines for kids, it's brought some investors out to buy stocks. And I even said to my wife, could you imagine the pandemic, even if you just took a gamble and you bought stocks in J&J and Pfizer and a few other places in the hopes that one of these guys would hit it, you imagine what that probably worth right now? Shelves at retail stores are becoming bare. More than 100 ships are sitting off our coast, you know, off the coast of California to be unloaded. Thousands of containers are waiting in ports just to be put on trucks and transported around the country. And for whatever reason, you know, some people are deciding not to get jobs, and that's putting pressure on retail stores and other businesses. And it's causing other investors to now to sit on the sidelines. But if those goods can get to market, then manufacturers are going to be able to pay their employees. And this becomes a pretty incredible cycle. So on top of that, we've got inflation, and we can talk about that too, that we had not seen in years. The producer price index, I talked about that earlier in the week, that measures how manufacturers are, you know, how they're charging for their projects. And it was up more than 8%. It was 8.1% or something last month. While the consumer price index, that's the measure of how much you and I are paying at the store, that went up by more than 5% over a year ago. So the current situation is bringing up a word that was coined back in the 1970s. And I want to talk to Peter Granich about this today. It's called stagflation. We've talked about inflation, right? But what about stagflation? That's a mashup of words, right? You take inflation and stagnant, put them together, you get stagflation, like Bennifer, right? Like Ben and Jennifer. My wife hates when people merge those words. You know, she's like, why do they do that? Bennifer, I can't stand. I'm with you, honey. But stagflation, stagnant and inflation, meaning that there's no growth in the economy, but inflation is still going on, The Bureau of Labor Statistics, their median weekly earnings in the third quarter of this year was just over $1,000, less than 1% higher than last year. But inflation was more than five times over the same period. So when you adjust for inflation, the average worker is losing about $50 a week. So Peter Granich joins me this afternoon, and we have him on a little bit earlier today. If you want to get in to talk with him too, feel free to. We don't have a whole lot of time with Peter today, but the number for you is 888-914-9149. He's the former Wall Street whiz kid. You can find him at Peter Granich & Company. That's his organization. Great way to get to that is just petergranich.com. You might want to sign up for his email, too. I always appreciate it, getting his correspondence. Peter, good to have you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Well, you did a podcast this week, and it got my attention. The headline alone got my attention. I thought, man, we got to talk about this. It was entitled, and I'll quote it, quote, "The October 19th, 1987 crash will be a walk in the park compared to what's coming." And just to remind listeners, that was the day that saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average drop about 30%, something that it had not done since 1929. And again, now Peter's podcast this week, and you can get plugged into him here. Just go to petergranich.com or go to our webpage. The October 19th, 1987 crash will be a walk in the park compared to what's coming. That is a pretty frightening headline. Tell us what you're seeing and fill us in. What are the signs?
So it was in part of a celebration, if you can believe it. It was 34 years ago that occurred, and it was really what elevated me to a national level. I had been a stockbroker just for a few years, had been elevated to head of investment strategy for a New York Stock Exchange member firm, and made a forecast of a crash, of which the firm wanted me to retract to resign. 6 weeks after that forecast, October 19th came, and then on October 20th, they really thought I needed to go to the nut house because I actually forecasted that the worst was over that day, and we would go to a new all-time high in 2 years, which if you thought the crash was hard to believe, most people couldn't begin to comprehend that. But, of course, we did, and we went tens of thousands of points higher. The bottom line is this. We're about 180 degrees from where we were when I started about 40 years ago. In the early 1980s, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had traded for decades between 700 and 1,000. We had just come off 20% interest rates, double-digit inflation, thinking we were going to be at war any moment with the Russians, and no opportunity to the fact that stocks were so dead. Business Week ran a famous magazine cover that said equities are dead. Wow. An unknown newsletter writer at the time named Robert Prechter, who wrote something called the Elliott Wave Theory, which no one knew about at that time, came out and predicted a Dow going to 3,700, and he was just ridiculed, just made total fun of. And a couple of years later, he was right. And, of course, now, after all of that, interest rates went down near the zero. We had very low inflation rate. The world beat the path to Wall Street and broad. 1 to 10% of Americans are doing very well. Statistics studies are coming out. Just more came out this week showing while the 1-10% are doing well, the rest are barely holding on or falling decline. The spread between, I can make it this simple, Drew, because I know we're short for time. The difference of where Wall Street is and its perception of where the economy, politics, and social stuff is and why they justify stock prices at these levels versus the current reality for that 90% or more has never been greater. So only one or two things can happen. Either the masses somehow catch up to the 1 to 10% who foresaw a great, phenomenal mecca, or as it's mostly happened throughout hundreds of years of history, the stock market got way too ahead of itself and it comes back down to earth. The difference now versus even 1987 is we were basically still a creditor nation then. We now have over $30 trillion in debt and God knows how much we owe in Medicare, Medicaid, and all that we can't even pay. We're politically and socially more divided than any other time in my 65 years of life. In fact, I don't think the country's been more divided. Just as you were speaking about how it's divided over abortion, I don't believe it's been more divided as a nation than perhaps the Civil War. And clearly, the political parties, who if and when the financial crisis does occur, like 2008, there's no political will for them to do what they have to do. And by the way, Drew, over half financial advisors have only been practicing since the last financial crisis, and less than a third since the new millennium began. So I don't believe there's professional experience. In fact, in the last 18 months, you talked about your wife and seeing how the stocks went up and all. In the last 18 months, we've had a lot of stock market internet gurus be born, people who just a few years ago, toughest math problem was their algebra class in high school, and now they're peddling out advice and telling people like myself, you're old, you don't understand, this is a new mechanism. This time it's different. Well, Sir John Templeton lived a great life, one of the greatest investors ever, and he had an old saying, it's never different this time, and I don't think it's going to be the same again here.
Well, I'll tell you, Peter, hold on for just a second. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, let's pick it up. We'll talk more. If you're on hold, I'll take your calls. As I said, I have a packed show today, so I only have Peter for a few minutes. But, Jim, you're on deck. We'll grab your call, and we'll also talk about what Peter sees coming. If we are going to see a major adjustment, what does that mean, and how deep will it go? How will it affect you and your future? We'll look at that more when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. I want to fill you in on a campaign Relevant is inviting to be part of. That's coming up in a second. Right now, if you're just tuning in, Peter Grandage is here. I hope you'll check him out at his website, petergrandage.com. I really value his opinion and his expertise. He wrote a book called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. I endorsed it. I'm just one of a number of people who read it, where Peter tells his incredible journey of how his Catholic faith led him to a true, you know, Catholic convert, true Christian conversion. He made millions and lost millions and then made millions again. And this is a guy who built a reputation with not a whole lot of education on Wall Street. He was able to read the signs and be pretty accurate. And so I've tapped into him. I mean, some people say, oh, gosh, you know, sometimes everything I hear, is, you know, when it comes to Peter, is that things aren't going to be good. Some say, hey, the guy's a contrarian to the prevailing opinion that once we get through COVID, the economy's going to soar. That's what the president is telling us, right? Joe Biden saying, no, this is temporary. Things, you know, things are great. People are buying. You know, the bailout is not going to cost anything. I mean, you know, nobody under $400,000 is going to be taxed. I mean, we hear a lot of different things. Are we headed to stagflation? One of the things I want to look at, and if there is a market drop, how significant will that be? And then I'll just take a call or two. As I said, I have Peter for just a short time today. But let me start with those two questions for you first, Peter, and then we'll take Jim in Minnesota, who's been waiting to join the conversation here. One, you know, would you consider yourself a contrarian to the prevailing opinion? I mean, I'm hearing from not just the Biden administration, but from others. You know, there's others in the financial world. I'm sure you're very familiar with them, who are saying once we're out of COVID, once you know transportation and the gridlock we're seeing on the West Coast gets freed up, the economy's going to soar. Your thought on that, and do you have any concerns about a period of stagflation, which other experts are saying really is looming?
Well, I believe if the Archangel Gabriel came to most market strategists and literally told them God is warning them of a pending sharp sell-off in the market, even if they went down to their office and told their superiors that this is what they want to tell their clients, they would never be able to tell it. There's a large segment in the financial service community that belongs to what I've coined the don't worry, be happy crowd. I literally believe this. I'm not saying it's true. You've asked me my beliefs and I'm sharing it with you. Mm-hmm. I believe if you took most of them off the top of the Empire State Building and tossed them off, they'd all say the same thing all the way down, Drew. Hey, so far, so good. So when you tell me that they talk about, oh, any time now, you know, I've been hearing this, how once COVID's behind us, these things are going to happen. Biden come out and say that we're going to raise $5 trillion, but it's not going to cost you anything. I mean, the absurdity. And thankfully, one senator in particular from West Virginia, who happens to be a member of his party, but not really what the party has moved to, said that's absurd. It's going to cost us plenty, and I think it's going to cost us too much. The whole irony of this is never has 90% or so people been in the worst social, political, and economic environment in the modern era. That's what exists for 90%. Now, if you ask me, if I was just talking to a bunch of billionaires or people mm-hmm. making millions of dollars and are heavily invested in the stock market and don't have to worry like most people probably listening to are, yeah, I think they would paint a better picture to you. But I'll tell you this much, when you ask about contrarianism, every time there's a major crash in the market, something was hyped before that. In 2008, it was mortgages that Wall Street pushed. In 1999, it was internet stocks that got everybody hooked. And I'm telling you right now, it's Bitcoin. And all the fury about it, you can't find somebody on the other side. Tell me the last time you heard, other than maybe now, me speaking, somebody tell you something bearish about Bitcoin. So when markets are like that and extreme separation between real reality and hopes and conjectures, you have to take the other side. And the very fact that almost no one in mainstream Wall Street is on the other side demands me to be on the other side. So, yeah, I'm a contrarian. And, yes, I'm not rooting for this. Just like I know you hope I'm wrong, but I really feel I'm going to be right.
Sure. It's so funny you mentioned Bitcoin. I was looking. I use a mobile app. I transferred some money to somebody for something, and you know it comes up, and they always ask you, "Hey, do you want to buy cryptocurrency right on this particular app?" And about a week ago, I was looking at Bitcoin. I think it was like $59,000 of Bitcoin. Maybe it was even less. It could have been 56, 57. I just kind of glanced at it. Yesterday or the day before, it was up to like 64,000. I'm looking at it right now. It's 60,600. It's insane how much that Bitcoin is going up. Some people think it's going to go up to $100,000. So that's what's being hyped. And again, Peter, I'll go back. I appreciate your honesty. Gosh, I hope you're wrong. Jim in St. Paul, Minnesota, you're on the air with Peter Grandage. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Peter. Just one more reason to love Fridays. Peter read your book a few years ago, really enjoyed it. My question is about real estate, and particularly Evergrande, of course, has been in the news a lot lately. High-flying real estate developer out of China, biggest one, but probably not the only one that's in financial straits right now, and wondering what kind of effect that's going to have globally, in your opinion.
Sure. China carried us through the 2008 world financial crisis. They're not going to be in that same position now. When China sneezes, much of the world catches a cold. And you're right. They have some very serious issues on a wide variety, not just real estate. So I think it's something that's being neglected and being overlooked, and you're right to be focused on it, and it's one of many reasons. And if I can, Jim, if you don't mind, I'd like to respond before we run out of time to Bitcoin and what Drew brought up, because it's very critical. Bitcoin was about the same price 6 or 8 months ago that it is now, but the excitement and expectation and more of the public is much more invested in it, and that's atypical, because what happens is, Drew, and if I can close on this, because I know you're short on time.
Sure.
I've never seen in all what I've studied, and clearly the 40 years I've been around, that when Wall Street gets the public so heavily involved in any one type of sector or new investment product or service, I've never seen the end of that story end with this line: and the general investing public lived happily ever after. It doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen again. In fact, I think Bitcoin is the AOL of internet stocks. If you remember when internet took off and they were coming out with all sorts of crazy reasons to justify every internet stock, even though there was almost no value in any of them, AOL was the darling. But what happened there was, out of the bubble burst, great internet companies were born. But AOL's technology didn't allow it to be one of the new leaders in the new world. That's going to be the same for Bitcoin. If you're going to play the cryptocurrency market, one thing I can tell you, there are much better coins prepared for that technology than Bitcoin is right now. So I'm not against cryptocurrency, but I think Bitcoin is the poster child for the inevitable bust that's coming in the overall financial world.
Good to know. Hey, Jim, thank you. I hope Peter helped.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Peter, and I got to thank you, too. I appreciate your time. I know we moved you a little bit earlier today, but I'm grateful. We got a lot coming up. Enjoy your weekend, and thank you for of course, all the insight. If people want to follow you, tap into your insight, to ask you a question, what's the best way to track you down?
The best is Twitter, on Twitter, because that's where I do most of my coming. But there is a website, petergranish.com. They can read the book and all our booklets are free there. They don't have to purchase anything. PeterGrandich.com, and just go to suggested reading.
So what's your Twitter handle? What do you go by?
Oh, God, you're going to ask me that. I think it's A. Peter. Don't ask me that. I don't know that stuff. I barely can do it myself.
I love it. That's so awesome. Well, if people can track it down, they're savvy enough to find Peter Grandich.
I'm sure if you type in Peter Grandich in Google, my Twitter link comes up among everything else that comes up.
That's awesome. Peter, enjoy your weekend. Thanks. We'll catch up
soon.
Thank
you. God bless.
Appreciate you being here. God bless you. Say a prayer for Peter, too. I love him. He's a good guy, honest. His faith drives him. And that is, of course, his perspective. And there are people who disagree with him. But, today was a big – I thought what he said today was clarion when he takes a look at the history of what has happened over the decades and what has been pushed and championed before a major, major correction. And I was – to his point about – Bitcoin. I was just looking at it and I said to my wife, you know, I'm not invested in Bitcoin or anything like that, but I kind of wish I was. There was a guy named Bill Oliveri who has contributed to this show in a morning air several times. Years ago, he was on the program, maybe not even that long ago. And he says, I'll send you some Bitcoin in a wallet. You should invest in Bitcoin. He's a big crypto guy, right? My gosh, I could retire if I had listened to him. I mean, you take a look at crypto at that time, it was a couple $1,000s, maybe. You know, it could have been even less than that. It really had gone down. Today, you're talking 64. It was 60,000 today, but it's been even higher. Some experts say it's going to go to 100,000. But is Peter right? You know, is that going to be like so many other things we've seen? Internet stocks, et cetera. Who knows? We'll see. But, you know, here's the bottom line. You know, Peter makes the point that Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. Right? You can't serve God and money. You can't serve both. You can't have two. You know, you can't have two. You just can't do that. but you can trust God with your money, right? And he does care for you. And in particular circumstances, I know it's a hard thing to do, but I know this because I've been there before. You know, when you place your trust in him, you're going to get a lot further than trusting in someone that's very elusive and something as elusive, I really should say, as money is. I mean, I think that's the problem today. I think too many people go ahead and place their trust in what's in their portfolio or what's in their bank account or how many assets they have. We can talk finances, and one of the reasons I do is because we need money, right? Christ talked about it. It was one of the most common things he spoke about, more than heaven and hell, right? Because he understood that we need this to survive. But it also goes hand in hand with this concept of trust, doesn't it? What we have comes from God. Now, I know we work hard. He's given us an intellect and a free will, all of that. But we're also called to trust God. You might have a lot of zeros at the end of the numbers in your bank account. Things can change in a heartbeat. God's in control of everything. You might have nothing in your bank. You might have just one zero with nothing before it, right? God can change that in a heartbeat too. The key is God will provide for us. How much more does he take care of the birds of the air, right? The lilies of the field. How much more does he love you? So don't be stressed. Don't be worried about your current situation. God will provide for you. God will take care of you. God will never disappoint you. But too often, we trust in money. We trust in mammon, not in the creator of the universe, which is unfortunate. It's human. Believe me, I've been there. I know what it's like. I know sometimes it's hard. But it's hopefully one of the reasons you listen to Relevant Radio. We'll constantly try to help you refocus and draw you to that deeper understanding and that closer walk with the Lord. One of the things I want to get you plugged into, too, is I want to talk purgatory with you, because I've been doing this lately. Relevant Radio, by the way, and I just want to put a plug in for a campaign that they have, and I'll be re-articulating this several times. I just think this is so awesome. You know, when I was a young man coming into my faith, and I was raised Catholic, never really fell from it, but when I fell in love with my faith as a young man, I began to attend Mass daily and spend time in prayer. I was drawn to the souls in purgatory, and I began to pray for the souls in earnest. I mean, really, in a very, very powerful way. I would begin to dedicate hours and spend my own hard-earned money to have Masses offered for them. They're forgotten, very much like our guardian angels. How often do you think of your guardian angel or call upon them? Right? We so often forget about these angelic beings or those who've gone before us. Well, Relevant Radio is giving a really beautiful, absolutely free offer to anybody who wants. You know, if you go to your local church and you go to have a Mass, it sometimes costs money just to make a donation for it, or they might say, hey, it's 10, 15, 20, whatever the price is to have a Mass set, right? Relevant Radio, they want you to pray for your loved one, all right? They do. And coming up on the 2nd of November, we have the Holy Souls, right? The Feast of the Holy Souls. And I don't know if you're praying for your friends or your family who've passed, but we're going to do a novena for them. So if you forget, we'll do it for you. But, you know, here's a great way to get those that have gone before you. And you said, I've never had a Mass said for my mom, or I've never had a Mass said for my dad or my sibling, or for this person I worked with that died of a heart attack, or, you know, whatever the situation is. So here's all you have got to do, right? Go to relevantradio.com/souls. Relevantradio.com/souls. And plug in the name of your deceased friends, your deceased coworkers, family members, neighbors, whoever it might be, that person you heard about who died in the car accident, who committed suicide, whatever it might be. Starts November 2nd, it's going to run through the 10th, and we're going to pray for those, our brothers and sisters, if you will, who've gone before us. And they'll be remembered every day during the Mass here at Relevant Radio. And that's such a gift. There's nothing more powerful or efficacious for the souls than having Masses offered. Then we're going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, okay, every afternoon here as we do, and we'll be doing that also coming up in about 15 minutes, so feel free to join me. And then finally, at 7 p.m. Central Time, Father Rocky will be leading the rosary for those intentions. So, I mean, look, when I die, please have Masses said for me, first and foremost. When I die, say the chaplet for me. When I die, please say a rosary for me. I believe so much in the power of those prayers. That's, if you ask me what my top tier things are, that's it. You know, it's the Eucharist, receiving Mass, celebrating Mass and adoration, followed by these two beautiful prayers, of the rosary and the chaplet. And they're incredibly, incredibly powerful. So you know, whether you've known just a few people who've gone before you, or maybe there's a litany of people that you know, take advantage of what is a free opportunity for you. Create your list of departed loved ones, and we're going to pray for them. Okay, they're going to be covered in prayer. We spoke to Father John Clote last week about his documentary on souls. There is a movie being released. It's only going to be out for 2 days. I want to make you aware of it, as I think it's important to see these types of films on purgatory. It's done by the guy who did the Divine Mercy film, Love and Mercy. Unbelievable. That was an excellent film, one of the best I've seen on Divine Mercy. He just released one on purgatory. We'll talk about that. I'll be joined by one of the producers. And, of course, you can join me anytime. The number for you, 888-914-9149. I'll be back with more right after this.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I saw my guardian angel, who ordered me to follow him. In a moment, I was in a misty place full of fire, in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail for themselves. Only we can come to their aid. The flames which were burning them did not touch me at all. My guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls what their greatest suffering was. They answered me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Father Dan Cambra sharing a passage from the diary of St. Faustina. And coming up, we'll pray for the souls during the chaplet here. Again, I invite you to be part of our novena. The powerful revelation. St. Faustina, in her diary, actually records several different passages regarding the souls. One of my favorite stories that St. Faustina recorded was a night, and I've shared this with you before, and I'll probably share it with you again in a couple of weeks. It's just one of my favorites. Before I share the story, let me just say this. Does God allow purgatorial souls to visit us? You know, do they reach out and ask us for prayers? This is the time of year that we are to remember our obligation to pray for those who have gone before us. And I want to get you plugged into some really important stuff that will help you maybe draw closer to the souls and maybe help those who don't understand purgatory and come to discover it in a new way. One night, St. Faustina, again, was in prayer, and a sister who died 2 months before came to her. And she was a sister, Faustina wrote, of the first choir. And when she saw this nun, right, she was in terrible condition. Apparently she was in flames. Her face was painfully distorted, right? She had this horrible vision of this nun. It lasted only a short period of time. She was given us a snapshot, a glimpse of this agonizing nun who had gone before her. The nun disappeared. And Faustina writes, she says, look, a shudder went through my soul because I didn't know whether she was in purgatory or whether she was in hell. So Faustina decided to pray even more. She began to redouble her prayers for this nun. And the next night, the nun appeared to her again, this time even more horrible. She was covered in flames. They were even more intense. The despair was written all over her face. And Faustina was stunned. I mean, she was praying for this nun. She thought it would mitigate her condition, not intensify it. So she was astonished to see her worse. And she says to the nun, haven't my prayers helped you? And the nun answered that her prayers had not helped her and that nothing would help her. And Faustina said, and the prayers which the whole community has offered you, have they not been able to help you? She said, no, that these prayers had helped some other souls. So I replied, if my prayers aren't helping you, please stop coming to me, right? I'd be the same way, hey, don't bother me if my prayers aren't going to help, right? And the nun disappeared. But Faustina, who is a nun of mercy, who loved, right? She didn't stop praying. She continued to pray. And after some time, the nun returned. She came back to her during the night, but her appearance had really changed. There was no longer any flames that there had been before. Her eyes beamed with radiance and with joy. And she told St. Faustina that she had true love for her neighbor and that many souls had profited from those prayers. And the nun said she urged her to not cease praying for souls in purgatory. And she added that she herself would remain there not much longer. And Faustina writes this in her diary entry. It's 58. She goes, "How astounding are the decrees of God. Purgatory is real, and it does exist." There's a new film out on it. We talked about the purgatory done by Father John Claude. He talked about confession called The Miracle Box. And, of course, today I want to get you plugged into something for the Month of Souls, a wonderful film on purgatory. It's done by the same producer, Michael Horrett, who produced the film Love and Mercy on St. Faustina and really brought to the fore for the first time the extraordinary life of Blessed Sopochka, which is such a great story. I'm joined right now by one of the producers on that program, Oscar Delgado. Oscar, good to have you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Love to be here. Thank you for having me on.
That's awesome. So, you know, I was thinking about Faustina's vision, and I was thinking about so many others. We have St. Catherine of Genoa, who had been visited by souls. Padre Pio had been visited by souls. I mean, so many of these saints, I could go through a litany of them, have had these mystical experiences. They were taken to purgatory, or purgatorial souls came and prayed for them. In this documentary that was recently produced, and give the name of it so people know what it is, and then secondly, the name of the woman who began to receive these visions from the purgatorial soul that radically changed her life and went ahead and did a lot to free souls in purgatory. So I'll throw that to you. Why don't you fill us in on what's going on?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's Purgatory. The name of the film is Purgatory. It's going to be playing in theaters October 25th and October 28th. Purgatorymovie.com. It's a national release. So if, just type that in and type in your zip code. And the film is based on Fula Horak, who had mystical experience of holy souls visiting her. And one of the things that's interesting, Drew, is that she was agnostic, almost an atheist, in terms of like not believing in God, not believing in all this. And she had a mystical experience and a conversion. And so she began to get visited by souls. And so the film deals a lot with her visitations, and again, it also deals with the reality of purgatory, which a lot of times we don't really talk about or think about. So, our life here has meaning for our afterlife. So that's what's really critically important, that really remember that we should remember how we live is how we are going to end up in purgatory or in hell or in heaven.
Yeah, I know. I saw the film. Extremely well done, again, very professional. I was honored to see. I never saw the whole script. I did do some narration for the program. It also featured Padre Pio and some other key figures. Pio is another one of these great figures that had these encounters with purgatory more than anybody else, and he's a modern saint, if you will.
Yeah.
What can we learn from this, and what's the big takeaway from what's in the movie? What are people going to come away with?
I think to come away with that they just to appreciate to pray for the dead. I mean, you know, Drew, these souls in purgatory can't pray for themselves, and so I think that, you know, in a general sense, we've forgotten about the afterlife, in a sense that everybody, when you go to a funeral, they're canonized, they're done, see ya, you're done. And so I think it's important that we realize that that we need to still pray for those holy souls. They're the only ones the only way to get them out is to pray for them. And it used to be that tradition, but we've kind of lost it. So going to see the film, I think that you come away with, you know what, we really need to pray for those souls. And I think it's really relevant for what's going on today.
You know, I know the film has a limited run. I hope people will go out and they will have an opportunity to see it, because I was super impressed by this director when he did the Divine Mercy film on Love and Mercy. I thought that was really well done. You left the theater really inspired. Purgatory, you know, it's kind of a darker theme, if you will. You know, I'm just trying to think, you know, we'll have the same resonance with people. I hope it will. I hope it'll call people to pray, not just for their loved ones. I hope they'll have masses said, and I hope you'll bring others to come see this. I think we need to spend the month ahead in prayer. When's the movie being released? And again, how can people get connected to it?
Well, just October 25th or October 28th, go to purgatorymovie.com And just you type in your zip code, and it's, again, a national recent theaters everywhere across the country. And, again, we need to support Catholic films, Catholic projects, and it's important to get out and try to support this so we can have more of these type of films out there. It's a limited release, 7 p.m., either October 25th or October 28th, but in a theater near you. It's a national release.
That'd be great. That'll be great. I love it. I went we have a mutual friend, you and I, when the Love and Mercy film was released. And I loved going to see it on the theater and the big screen. Powerful, powerful encounter. What are you working on next? Anything after this? I mean, there's Divine Mercy, there's Purgatory. What's coming up?
We don't know yet. There's probably other films coming. Maybe we can think about the new film on The Dogma. Who knows? We're still thinking about things. There's still nothing yet so far.
All right. Well, Oscar, thank you for your hard work behind the scenes using the big screen to draw souls closer to our Lord's mercy, and especially for the souls in purgatory. I'm grateful. Check it out if you want to go see the movie again. Times and locations near you, just go to purgatorymovie.com. It's the month of souls, right? It's coming up. Join Relevant at relevantradio.com/purgatory for, of course, to have your loved one remembered in masses, the chaplet, and the rosary as well. All right? I'll be right back. We'll pray the chaplet right after this.